It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to Harry Enten from 538 to get the latest on how Donald Trump's cabinet picks are faring in confirmation hearings and other Washington news.
First, today, President-elect Donald Trump held his first press conference in almost 6 months. The press conference came after CNN and other news outlets reported that briefing materials prepared for Trump included unverified reports that Russia has compromising information about him.
Hours after that report, BuzzFeed published an unverified document they say was the 35-page dossier of memos with information about the alleged facts that Russia is claimed to have on Trump.
These reports got a lot of attention in today's press conference before Trump even took the stage. Spokesperson Sean Spicer addressed the publication of these documents.
For all the talk lately about fake news, this political witch hunt by some in the media is based on some of the most flimsy reporting, and it's frankly shameful and disgraceful.
Mike Wagner joins us to talk about the press conference and the relationship between the press and the president-elect. Mike's an associate professor of journalism and mass communications at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back to the show.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, this press conference kicked off on a raucous note because of the publication of this alleged information.
It really did, and then it kicked off with several attacks on the news media, most notably, of course, coming from President-elect Trump himself, which I think is a signal that we'll get more of the same from him in terms of his treatment of the news media that we saw in the campaign, we're likely to see in the Trump presidency.
There had been a lot of criticism for Hillary Clinton for long gaps between press conferences during the campaign. Now the press has had a drumbeat. When is Donald Trump going to have one after his election? What do you make of the timing?
Well, I think he had held off for about as long as he could have, I think. And so having one now, I think, also detracts attention away from the Tillerson confirmation hearings for his proposed Secretary of State. Those have been rough for his nominee. And so having Trump himself be in a news conference, I think, makes that the headline, makes that the top story. And so I think that's one of the reasons he's choosing to do that now.
Now, before Trump took the stage, Vice President-elect Mike Pence introduced him, and he had something to say about the publication of these documents by BuzzFeed.
You know, I have long been a supporter of a free and independent press, and I always will be. But with freedom comes responsibility. And the irresponsible decision of a few news organizations to run with a false and unsubstantiated report when most news organizations resisted the temptation to propagate this fake news can only be attributed to media bias, an attempt to demean the president-elect and our incoming administration, and the American people are sick and tired of it.
So with press freedom comes responsibility.
Well, I think journalists are bound to behave in an ethical way, and it's their job, I would say, to report the verifiable truth. And a lot of organizations like CNN said, we have this document, there are explosive allegations in it. Since we can't verify it, we're not going to talk about what's in it, but we have it, and we're investigating. And that seems to be a more appropriate way of going about things than BuzzFeed's way, which is to say, here's 35 pages of accusations about Donald Trump. We don't know if they're true or not. And so I can understand Vice President-elect Pence and President-elect Trump blanching at the release of that report the way that BuzzFeed did it. BuzzFeed said that their ethic was, we release it, you read it, you decide for yourself whether you think it's true, but that puts a lot on regular people. How do they vet 35 pages of information in an intelligence report? And so I think journalists are supposed to play a role here to help us understand the verifiable truth.
Talking to Mike Wagner from UW-Madison about Donald Trump's press conference earlier today. Let's get into the relationship between the reporters there and Donald Trump in a heated back and forth kind of between a CNN reporter and Donald Trump, not looking to them for a question. Here's a listen. I guess we don't have that up here. So there was a tough back and forth. CNN, do we have that? Okay, let's give a listen.
Since you're attacking us, can you give us a question? Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Since you are attacking our news organization, can you give us a chance?
Your organization.
You are attacking our news organization.
Your organization.
Can you give us a chance
Let's
to
go.
Ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, can
Quiet.
You state, can,
Quiet.
Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically?
She's asking a question. Don't
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
Don't be
you're
rude.
You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you
no,
give
I'm not
us a question?
Give you a I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
So an audience there of some sort, but I'm not going to take your question. You're fake news, CNN.
Yeah, that was pretty striking to have President-elect Trump call CNN a fake news organization. Now, I mean, if you go back and you maybe on YouTube watch some Ronald Reagan and Sam Donaldson back and forth. Sam Donaldson was the ABC White House reporter for a time. There were lots of those kind of shouting back and forth and, you know, reporters yelling questions as Jim Acosta of CNN was in that clip. But Trump has never, and to my knowledge, his staff has not said what they thought was inaccurate about CNN's report.
Right. That's different than what BuzzFeed did.
That's right.
CNN did not post the document.
They did not. And it is not clear what Trump's objection is to CNN's reporting of that, other than to say, by talking about it at all, it's disgraceful in Trump's formulation. But CNN, I think, behaved appropriately in that situation.
Have we seen presidents single out news media, particular organizations, to not very publicly not take questions from before?
We have attacked the press, or political elites have attacked the press since there's been one. And mm-hmm. so you can think back to the Watergate time and Nixon's press secretary, Ron Ziegler, regularly attacked the Washington Post, the New York Times, Dan Rather of CBS News. And so it's a tried and true strategy. And President-elect Trump, does it more aggressively and without expressing what he believes the facts are to discredit who he's trying to discredit. And so I think that's much more dangerous than what we've seen in recent years.
To what extent, when it comes to president-press relationships, are we in new territory here versus precedent?
Well, I think what's new is how aggressive and public Trump is about calling reporters out, even at rallies, pointing out there's the reporter's pen, that one in particular is terrible, which he has done to Katie Turr of NBC and Jenna Jacobs of The Washington Post. And he's calling out reporters by name in rallies where people are getting pretty hot and bothered by the claims that Trump makes about the news media. So that, I think, is fairly dangerous. And Trump's kicking the Washington Post out of kind of his press corps during the campaign, threatening today. His press secretary, according to the CNN reporter, told Jim Acosta of CNN, if you speak up again, we're going to throw you out of this press conference. And so that sort of thing is unique and dangerous.
What is a reporter to do in this situation? How can a reporter in this situation best do their job?
Well, I think it's totally appropriate to try to ask questions when someone like the president-elect is making himself available in a press conference, and you know, and trying to get the attention of that person is appropriate. I think that journalists can also work to try to make it so that president-elect and eventually President Trump doesn't just get to set the agenda by tweeting. And instead of just reporting what he tweets or putting his tweets in a headline, journalists exercising some of their own editorial control about what is and isn't newsworthy and what is and isn't verifiable would be things journalists could do to help reassert their role in this adversarial relationship between the news media and politicians.
An interesting phenomenon I'm seeing is real-time transcripting and, as close as possible, real-time fact-checking.
Right.
And then soon after, posting the full transcript with a growing number of highlighted links where you can get more background on the statement.
That is a major development in the news media in this century. And even today at the New York Times website, there was a fairly, as you say, almost live fact check of the claims that Trump was making. Some were on Trump's side when Trump said, "I'm the president. I don't have to abide by these anti-nepotism laws." That's true to the extent we can tell. And Trump saying, "I'm going to repeal and replace Obamacare within an hour." That's very unlikely to happen. And that live fact check from the Times' website pointed out why that would be. And so we're seeing a lot more of that. There's a danger to getting a fact check wrong. The last thing you want to do as a fact checker is get a fact wrong. But it does a great service, I think, to readers and audience members to have that happen.
Let's talk fake news now. Originally, as I understand it, my working definition of fake news is there's someone out there, they post something that looks like news, they made it up, whole cloth.
Right.
Now we're seeing more and more news that's a bit wrong or that is unfavorable to me or that quotes something that's unverifiable. the word fake news has had a mission creep in what it means.
Yes, there's been a significant mission creep, especially from those who want to discredit the news media. And so if there's a story that a politician doesn't like, that politician and his or her supporters will say, oh, well, that's fake news. And then they start even tying it to the organization, as President-elect Trump did today, saying CNN is a fake news organization. CNN is a journalistic organization. They make mistakes. They do lots of things in ways I wouldn't do them, but they're not fake news.
Briefly, as we wrap up, what are you looking for? What are you hoping for when it comes to media access to the new administration?
Well, I hope that reporters think about what media critic Jay Rosen has called an outside-in strategy. Too much journalism is predicated on the notion that having access to those who are in power is the most important thing. But it's also the case that reporting around the edges of power and reporting within various elements of the administration in the various, different offices that run the government and reporting from the outside in can be just as useful as trying to have access to that one person who's at the seat of power. And Trump generates attention by knowing that what reporters want is access to him. That's why he tweets the way he does. That's why he makes himself available in the way he does. And to take that power away from him would make it harder for him to obfuscate, which is one of his major strategies when dealing with the press.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Mike Wagner, Associate Professor of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. He joined us to talk about the relationship between President-elect Donald Trump and the news media after Trump's first press conference since he won the presidential election.